Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast is now on YouTube. Go on YouTube and search Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast and click that subscribe button to never miss an episode. Welcome, everybody, to episode 5 of the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast. I am one of your hosts, Wrestling Chris G from Sports Entertainment Breakdown. And joining me on the other line today, he is the snake to my onyx. He is Dougie Fresh. Dougie Man, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I don't know what that intro means. Like, I get the second half of it, but like, I mean, I could have been the Geodude to your Onix. I could have been the Brock to your Flint. I could have.
Well, people don't know who Flint is because we haven't gone over it yet.
I watched the episode. I don't think I know who he is.
I think that's honestly the only episode that he's been in. I mean, at least from what I've watched up to so far.
From what I remember, I mean, you're a little more plugged in than I am. I don't think he ever pops back up.
I don't think so either. And I mean, Onix is kind of a rock snake, isn't he? Like, he's just a rock.
So, Pokemon. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it works.
All right. I'll give it to you.
So, all right, everybody. And as you know, yes, this is episode 5. This episode is called Showdown in Pewter City, or in Japanese, it was translated as Battle of Nibby Gym, not Nippy Gym, Nibby with a B.
Oh, Nippy Gym, that's another show.
Yeah, that's a whole another show and different podcast. And yeah, dirty, dirty show, dirty yeah. Show. But, yeah, back when we were in high school. Yeah, yeah. Cinemax, HBO, yeah. Stuff. All right.
Let's go.
But yes, this episode aired in Japan April 29th, 1997, and aired here in the U.S. September 14th, 1998. And just like we like to do on every podcast, we like to give like a little history to the date. So this week was September 14th, and I'll go ahead and start with this one because I feel like the one that you found was better, Doug, and we can both kind of chat on it. But on this date in 1994, the Major League Baseball decides to cancel the Baseball World Series for only the second time in history, continuing labor disputes with Players Association. And you said you kind of know a little bit about this, so can you kind of enlighten us, Doug?
Yeah, this was a result of the labor strike that started in, well, it put a halt to the season in about mid-June in 1994. The agreement was coming up, and neither side could get together and get to a deal, so the league went on strike, and the standings, you know, froze where they were. And this is a sore subject in Montreal and the south side of Chicago specifically, because both teams were doing really well that season.
Oh, damn.
And Montreal especially might have had a legitimate shot at making a World Series, which, you know, the Montreal / Washington franchise just won their first this past season. But yeah, so obviously, you know, having to make the call to cancel the World Series, you know, put a definitive end to that year, obviously, and it bled over a little bit into 95. Which, and I love to do this because, you know, we all watched the Last Dance documentary.
Yes, we did. Great documentary.
The tail end of this strike is the only reason Michael Jordan quit baseball and went back to basketball, because he didn't want to cross the picket line and be a scab.
Yeah.
Had Major League Baseball not been on strike in the beginning of 95, he might have actually made the White Sox roster. But obviously he sent that fax, said I'm back, and then we got three more championships. This is the danger of these type of events on this particular podcast, because I could speak probably for like 45 minutes. So I'm going to stop because, okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, what also happened on this date, Doug, that that our audience will enjoy?
Yes, I found this one. It was kind of one of the first things that popped up when I Googled the date. September 14th, 1984 was the first edition of the MTV Video Music Awards.
Oh, good shit. Okay.
And just kind of going down the list of winners. Best female video went to Cyndi Lauper for Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Best group video was Legs by ZZ Top.
Oh, wow.
Let's see. Best stage performance in a video was Jump by Van Halen. Best overall performance in a video was Michael Jackson's Thriller. He kind of cleaned up. He got best cinematography in a video. Let's see. The Police. No, that's yeah. So I mean, just a handful of names. I'm trying to figure out if I can see like who performed live. Because that's always interesting.
Yeah, those are always controversial.
Let's see. Live performances. We had Huey Lewis in the News with I Want a New Drug. ZZ Top performed Sharp Dressed Man. And Ray Parker Jr. did the Ghostbusters theme.
Oh, get out. Okay. And
there's a couple others, but those three in particular jumped out at me.
All right.
So, yeah. MTV. Not as big as it used to be, obviously.
No, but on another note, and this is completely off topic, but I feel like this episode is going to be very, very short for what it is once we get into it. So right. There's something that I saw last night, Doug, that I found very, very interesting, that I found out is actually still a thing. So back on April 30th of 1992, Nickelodeon actually buried a time capsule, and they are actually not opening this time capsule until 2042.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I will be 52 years old when this capsule is finally unveiled, but it's funny the stuff that they actually put inside of this time capsule.
You have a list. I thought it was just a news item.
Yeah, hold on. I will actually pull open this list. So they have the original Home Alone and Back to the Future VHS movie.
Oh wow.
Let's see. The Please Hammer Don't Hurt 'Em by MC Hammer and Michael Jackson's Dangerous CDs.
Wow.
A Nintendo Game Boy.
Oh.
Yes, the original. Rollerblades, Reebok Pump 'Em sneakers, a jar of Gak. Let's see. One of Joey Lawrence's Whoa 92 hats. A news report from that year. Let's see. Some miscellaneous books. An issue of Nickelodeon magazine.
Wow.
A Nicktoons t-shirt featuring Ren and Stimpy. A piece of the Berlin Wall.
Ha! Okay.
A Barbie doll, pencils, a skateboard, a baseball, Twinkies, a stick of gum, but nobody knows what flavor the gum is.
Well, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Photos of things too big or alive to fit inside. So they put a picture of a bicycle, airplanes, trains, cars, politicians, and celebrities. A videotape of a girl that was on site filming them putting everything into the jar. So that was the last item that they put in there. Oh, and the camera that was recording it.
Oh, so okay.
So that's pretty interesting.
Fun fact, I could probably still eat the Twinkie when they open it up.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, I just thought that it was really, really interesting. I remember walking over the time capsule. They actually moved it to a, let's see, where did they move it to? Let's see. Okay, so it doesn't say, but in 2012, in 2005, they removed Nickelodeon Studios from Universal Studios, and they took the time capsule and put it at one of the Nickelodeon resorts, and we'll open it up in 2042. So I don't know. It's just a fun fact that I wanted to throw out there, that something Nickelodeon actually did right back then. Well,
that's interesting. Just as you're reading off those items that are in there, I was getting a pretty decent reaction from them, and it was only, this is only 2020. So, like, I just think that's funny because, like, you think, what did you say, 2052?
2042.
Like, Nickelodeon is not going to be a thing. TV might not be a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows what we could be dealing with in frickin' 20 years.
I know. I mean, who knows if we can even have a crowd that big with all these viruses that are coming out.
Yeah, fucking COVID, fucking 40.
Yeah, I know. So, all right, I feel like we had our audience wait enough. That was a good little, let's see, how far into this are we? So that was a good 12-minute starter up for this show. So we can go ahead and start getting into the meat and potatoes of this podcast, which is what you're all here for, and that is a recap of this week's episode, Showdown in Pewter City. Are you ready, Doug?
Yeah, and like you said a couple minutes ago, this should be relatively straightforward, at least this episode.
Yes. So everything should be pretty, pretty good. But all right, so we actually start this episode kind of weird. We actually started this episode with Team Rocket, and they're digging a hole. Well, we find out that they're not the ones digging the hole. Meowth is digging the hole, and Jesse and James are sitting back just spewing out their motto.
Yeah, they're doing the catchphrase, which this was jarring. Because this was for no other reason than they needed to start an episode. Like,
yeah,
it's not like they were mid fight with Ash and the gang. It's just, no, we're just going to start with Team Rocket and see what happens.
Well, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the only time we see them in this episode. So it was like, kind of like, okay, so Team Rocket has to be in the episode. So how do we put them in there? Oh, let's just have them dig a hole at the beginning of the episode.
They're briefly at the end, like 15 seconds.
Oh, yeah, true. True that.
But yeah, this is their only like extended like screen time, like where they explain what they're doing.
So we start off, yeah, and they're doing their catchphrase, and Meowth cuts into their catchphrase and is like, hey, why am I the only one digging the hole here? And you guys are sitting here doing the motto.
Which is true and bullshit.
But this is like hole number 2,568, because they literally, it seems like they just like digging holes in Pokemon.
Yeah, because they get done digging the hole that they were in the middle of. And then I think James is like, oh, I forgot where the trap is. So it's like, y'all motherfuckers have been sitting here digging holes all day, and you didn't, like, mark something?
Yeah, you don't put, like, a green flag. You don't put anything. But, I mean, to their credit, it was a pretty good hole.
It was a good hole, especially because it wasn't the first one they dug.
So.
But there's better ways to spend a day, I guess.
Yeah. But after Meowth yells at them, they both start jumping in the hole, and they dig the hole extra fast. It seems like they dug an entire hole within like 10 seconds. And then they put the green tarp thing down, laid some dirt on top of it. And then, as you said, James is like, I forgot where the hole is. And then they're looking around, walking around. And then all of a sudden Team Rocket falls into their own hole.
Yeah. They found it.
Yes.
And then, like we said, that's the last we see of them until like the last 15 seconds.
So, and it was at that point that we get the opening with the name of the episode, Showdown in Pewter City.
And so, then we get a quick voiceover, not with previous clips or anything. We just get a quick voiceover. You know, Ash is continuing his journey, yada, yada. And the announcer kind of throws shade. He's like, oh, they finally got out of the forest.
The announcer, he's funny as hell. I want to know who this announcer is. Maybe in the next episode we can look him up. And because he still does, it seems like to me he still does the openings to some of these episodes as he's telling this story.
Wow.
So watch this motherfucker be Ash's father just... like, okay, I know what my son's doing. I'm telling the damn story.
I've been sitting here for 20 years.
You know, what if, and I know people are probably like, well, no, it can't be. But what if this is Ash telling his whole adventure back in the day?
No, because then you could poke holes in it. Because then you're like, how do you know what Team Rocket was doing if you were in the forest and they were out, you know, doing whatever?
Facts. Okay. True. Okay. Thank you for clearing that one up.
Yeah.
But yeah, he says that they finally got out of there, and both Ash and Misty are taking a look at Pewter City from a rock. And then right underneath is a guy, who looks oddly like Brock with a beard, and he's just sitting there, and he's trying to sell rocks to Ash and Misty.
Pewter City souvenirs.
Yes.
Official Pewter City souvenir.
So, and then the funniest part to this, he tries to sell Ash the rock that Ash is sitting on, because he's sitting on one of his merchandise.
Right.
Like, what the fuck, motherfucker? He says $2 for that rock. No, I'm not paying $2 for a rock.
Hey, you gotta respect dude's hustle, you know? He's... always gotta make a living, you know?
Yeah, but when you find out who this fucker is, I mean, you kind of sit back and you're like, okay, motherfucker, really? But
and then, the guy Flint kind of throws a little bit of shade at Pikachu. And says, well, he does. Ash is like, well, he is kind of tired. And Flint's like, well, I'll take you to the Pokemon Center. And then And then we get a cute little visual of Pikachu in the little tray next to Butterfree and Pidgeotto, who are in their Pokeballs. And Pikachu's just like, I have had a week.
Yes. So, all right. And then after that, let me go ahead and skip forward. So we finally get to the Pokemon Center, and yeah, Pikachu is all pooped and Ash's Pokeballs are all in there. But then Ash sees a poster of the Pokemon League. So Would you like to kind of go over this part, Doug?
Yeah. And he's basically like, "Oh, now I have found purpose. I will be grand champion." And Misty fucking kicks him right in the nuts and is like, "You know, who do you think you're fooling? You know, you could barely find your way out of a forest, and you know, you gotta, you know, these are like top level trainers, and you know, you've got to earn gym badges and this, that, and the other thing." And Ash is bullheaded. He's like, "Well, I'll fight somebody right now. I
could fight the Pewter City gym leader." But side note here. So looking at this poster, do you remember back in the day when we would collect Pokemon cards and how all of the original cards had the poison, the lightning, and the fire cards? Like all of those are on this poster, like categorizing each Pokemon in that you can get in the Kanto region.
Yeah, like I'm doing a slow scroll on it right now. Like you can see psychic, you can see fire, you can see earth,
lightning,
you know, electricity's there. Oh yeah, it's at the top. Yeah, so nice little Easter egg's not the right word, but well, kind of, I guess.
So back to the story. So Ash says, yeah, that he will challenge any gym leader, and that he can become a Pokemon League champion. And then here comes that guy again, who we end up finding out later on is Flint. So he comes out and he's like, "Don't you dare think about going to challenge Brock, because he's a real great gym leader, and your Pikachu is not." Basically saying his Pikachu is not strong enough.
I mean, your Pikachu is cute, but he's no fighter. Yeah.
So, and Flint kind of walks away just laughing at Ash, and it just gets under Ash's skin, and he's like, "Ooh," he's like, "Man, that Flint, who does he think he is? I can go over there and I can win this damn Pokemon battle."
So then we cut to lunch, and Misty's like legitimately out there trying to do a good thing for Ash, and she's like, "Well, if you ask nicely, you know, I could train you, because you know, gym battles are something different." And Ash, pardon me, Ash is just so pig at it. He's like, "Oh, I don't." He's literally like got a mouthful of food. He's like, "I don't need any help."
Yeah, like Misty is legit. Like, I think this is the first time Misty's actually trying to be nice to Ash, because unbeknownst to him, Misty is a gym leader.
Right. We won't find that out for a couple more episodes.
Let's see.
Two
more episodes, and we find that out.
Yeah, because next week is the Clefairy episode, which you're not a fan of, and then
no.
So it's the one after. So yeah, 2 weeks.
So
yeah, and, you know, Misty's like legitimately putting herself out. Well, not out there. You know, she's like, "I will help you," and Ash is like, "No, girls."
Yeah, I'm not.
Well, not really, but basically.
And Misty just gets mad and is just like, "Look, I'm just trying to help you, because I know how gym leaders are, and you're going to need a little bit of help." And Ash is just like, "No, I can do this all by myself. I don't need your help. I can do this on my own. I'm going to be a Pokemon master.
I can be a bad bitch." So Misty leaves, you know, rightfully, you know, sticks Ash with the bill.
Ash is like, "I can't pay for all of this."
And then we basically cut right to the front door of the gym. So, yeah, they had no time for filler this week.
No, they didn't.
They said, "We're going to focus on the gym battle. We're even going to swipe Team Rocket under the rug a little bit. We're just going to go, we're 20 minutes gym battle. We're just going to figure it out."
So we cut back to the Pokemon Center, and Pikachu is on a tray again with Ash's two Pokemon, and Nurse Joy is giving his Pokemon back, saying that his Pokemon are now healed and they are in great condition.
Right, and Pikachu jumps on Ash's shoulder, like, we've all been friends, like, we're not going to remember fucking day one where he got shocked 37,000 times.
I know.
And
that
then...
that was so far ago.
I mean, that was fucking last week. I know. But, yeah, I did skip this scene unintentionally. But then, like I say, we ended up at the front door of Pewter City Gym.
And Ash just barges in going, "Hey, I'm here to challenge for the gym badge."
Just dick swinging. Just didn't knock, didn't enter a code, didn't...
He just pushes that door open like it was nobody's business. I was like, just, oh, well, damn, man.
All he was missing was John Cena's entrance theme. Just fucking...
Key John Cena's music now.
That's Ash Ketchum.
And so as soon as he walks in, Brock is sitting on a stoop. Basically, with it Indian style, like we used to do back in first and second grade.
Fam, I don't got the knees for that.
Oh, I did. I used to love Indian style. But he turns on the light because the light was off and goes, "Who goes there?" And Ash is like, "I am Ash from Pallet Town, and I'm here to battle for the gym badge."
Brock's just cool as a motherfucking cucumber. He's just... What does he say? He's like, "Oh, no," that's when he says, your Pikachu's cute. At his cutest level. But he's not a fighter. And then Pikachu does the same kind of Japanese pratfall that I think they all three did when Flint was like, "That'll be $2 for standing on that rock."
Yeah.
Pikachu's just like, "Oh, that's some bullshit."
But Ash is so stern that he's like, "You know what? My Pikachu is a fighter. My Pikachu can win this battle." And Brock goes, "Okay, well, suit yourself. This will be a one-on-one gym badge battle. So you get to choose one Pokemon." And
it's 2-on-2.
Oh, I'm sorry. 2-on-2. Okay. And Ash will have two Pokemon, and Brock will have two Pokemon. And of course, Brock pushes a button, and the whole stadium starts to collide in on Ash, almost damn near killing the boy.
Yeah, if he didn't luck out and go, "Oh, I better move," he would have been, and that series would have been real short. We'd be done.
So,
kill off the main character.
I know. But Ash is running away, and then just he jumps out at the last second, and you now have rocks all around the battlefield.
Yeah. And so Ash is like, "Well, I got Pikachu." And then Brock's like, "Well, here's Onix for you." And
just like a dick. Okay. And side note, being what it is, and knowing how Onix and Pikachu are friends now, would you be able to be friends with me right away? And I just almost like crushed you and killed you.
Or I don't know. If we fast forward for a second, then take a step back. If I shocked the mess out of you, like 10 minutes later, like.
Would I be able to be buddy buddies with you?
I don't think we'd be having a picnic for a while.
I saw this video on TikTok, and I know people are like, "Well, get through with the episode." Well, this episode is going to be very short, people. This guy walks in and he goes, "Oh, welcome to the Pokemon Center. Which Pokemon are you going to leave here to get frisky?" And he goes, "I'm going to leave my cute pink Jigglypuff and my big tall Steelix." And then Jigglypuff was like, "Jiggly?" And he goes, "Yeah, This will teach you to lose another battle, Jigglypuff. And then he just walks out. And I was like, well, damn, that got dark real quick.
I turned a corner real fast.
I'm going to have to send you that video.
Oh, you should. Well, I don't know if you remember, but you did show it to us.
Oh, I did. I did. Okay. Okay. All right, cool. Yeah, I was a little drunk.
Yeah. That's for that's for a different podcast.
Yeah, different podcast, different day. So, okay, back to the story. Onyx comes out and sees Pikachu and just yells at Pikachu. And Pikachu just runs away like it's nobody's business. And it's like, pick one of the other Pokemon.
Yeah, Pikachu. And this is, and again, we can kind of nitpick a little bit because this episode is kind of like straight down the line. So Pikachu bails, right? Runs up Ash's leg, finds his belt with his Pokeballs on it, and goes to hit one. And Ash right away goes, no. This is your battle, Pikachu, not Pidgeotto's. How in the hell does he know that? How does he know that that's Pidgeotto and not Butterfree?
He probably can smell it.
That's bullshit. Oh, Pikachu. Well, no, but Ash. Like, Ash barely looked down and goes, no, this isn't Pidgeotto's battle. Like, how the hell?
Well, maybe Ash puts his Pokemon in a specific order. I mean, when I'm playing Pokemon Shield and Sword, I know which order I'm putting my Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, that's a fair shot, I guess. He would know that Pidgeotto's on the outside versus, you know, Butterfree's on the inside.
So,
and he's only got two of them, for goodness sake.
Yeah, for real. So, okay. All right, so back in the battle, Ash puts Pikachu down and goes, yeah, this is your battle, Pikachu. And Brock, just being a dick, not even giving Pikachu a second, seeing that Pikachu just ran away, goes, Onyx, tackle, attack. And Pikachu is just like, well, fuck, I'm gonna run. And Onyx is just going through those rocks and just roar.
I mean, he's, you know, Pikachu's just running scared, and Onyx is just like, well, this is slightly annoying, but I'm gonna find this little rat.
Yeah, for real. And then Brock goes, all right, Onyx, bind. And fucking Onyx just scoops up Pikachu with his tail and just starts like binding him. And if you don't know what that is, it's basically just squeezing the life out of Pikachu.
I mean, the Onyx version of a bear hug, basically.
Yeah.
And this is another part I didn't get. Well, and it's twofold, which, and I'm just now realizing the second issue.
Okay.
Ash is trying to recall Pikachu with a Pokeball.
Yes.
So, one, no. Because we've spent the better part of the first half of the episode, of the first episode, establishing that Pikachu wants nothing to do with being contained in a Pokeball.
Yes.
So, what the fuck? It's only episode 5. Why are we going back to this? But
we know.
The bigger issue is, this is the second time Ash has had issues getting a Pokemon recalled into a Pokeball. Because he couldn't catch Metapod when the Beedrill took him. And now he can't get Pikachu through Onyx's bind. So what are the rules of returning a Pokemon? Do you literally have to be bang on when you call somebody back?
I'm guessing it has all to do with aim, and Ash just does not have the aim yet.
Well, it's shenanigans.
Yeah, because he tries to return him, and Brock goes, actually, before he starts to return it, Pikachu tries to Thundershock Onyx. So let's not skip over that. He tries to Thundershock Onyx. It has no effect on Onyx because Onyx is a rock Pokemon. And Brock educates Ash on it and goes, well, rock Pokemon cannot get hurt by electric attacks. And that's when he tries to return Pikachu because Pikachu's getting hurt. So then Brock goes, well, do you surrender? And Ash then surrenders.
Yeah, I mean, he has no other option. So that's the end of the battle.
Yeah. And since he surrendered, I mean, even though it was supposed to be a 2-on-2 battle, but he didn't want to see his Pikachu get knocked out, even though Pikachu technically did get knocked out.
Yeah, I mean, if this was UFC, they would have fucking called it. So Ash is walking out with Pikachu in his arms, and Flint pops up and goes, follow me. And fucking Ash doesn't even goddamn blink. He just goes with him.
Yeah.
And he, they're in Flint's little hut or whatever. And he's like, well, you know, everybody loses, you know, and you got to be able to shake it off. And, you know, Brock's a really good trainer.
But I might have a way that can help you.
So, not seeing this episode for a while, my immediate thought was, is Pikachu about to go on that juice?
Yep.
Like, I couldn't remember any, it basically is, but I was like, is fucking Flint going to give Pikachu, like, some special berries or something? But no.
He hooks him up to a, it's not a windmill.
It's a hydro power station.
There you go.
It's a hydro power station.
So, and he hooks up like little tape and an electrode over on Pikachu's cheeks. And basically he's going to supercharge Pikachu's cheeks.
But we skipped over a pretty significant chunk. So it's not just me doing it this week. We got a little bit, a little before this, we got some insight on
Brock.
And because Ash goes, if Brock's such a good trainer, how come he's not out, you know, trying to be like, in the regional finals? And Flint's like, well, he has his reasons. And they go to the main house, I'm guessing, or Brock's house, I guess. It's not really explained. And Brock's in there managing a house full of what?
Brothers and sisters.
I mean, just it's never really established how many kids, but just a...
It's 10.
Is it 10? Okay, yeah. I might have missed that part. So, okay, so he's got, you know, 10 kids.
Yes, 10 brothers.
And he's at the stove, and then he's sewing a dress up, and, you know, and then Flint's like, well, you know, he lost his mom when he was young, and
then his dad left.
His dad's a deadbeat, went off to try to be a Pokemon trainer, and has never been heard from again, and so Brock's just out here holding down the fort and leading the gym, and then that's when we go to the hydro power station, and we have another moment where Ash is like, this is perfect, and then Flint's like, well, of course the river is dry right now, and they all kind of go, ah, you know, but then, you know, yeah, they do it, they jerry-rig it where Ash is actually doing the work, and Pikachu's getting taking the current in. And
from there, as Pikachu's getting juiced up, the scene kind of fades. And
disrespecting Misty, because Misty again pops up and goes, wouldn't it be easier if I helped you train? And Ash is like, I'm going to beat Brock with the Pokemon that I trained. And this is where I had a question for you, and I made a mental note. I didn't put pen to paper. Misty says wouldn't it be easier if you used some of mine? Basically implying that she's willing to give Ash Pokemon.
So he can win the gym battle.
Is that not cheating?
I don't think so.
I think it is.
How is that cheating?
Because he didn't catch those Pokemon. So, A, how are we 100% sure they'd even listen to his commands?
All Misty has to do is say, listen to Ash.
But that's bullshit. That's like... That'd be like me getting a friend to take my math final in high school because I'm not a good math student. But I get credit for it because he put my name on it at the top of the page.
I would have, you know, me being me, I probably wouldn't take Misty's Pokemon because if I win with her Pokemon, when I get to the Pokemon League, and my Pokemon aren't up to par because I didn't use my Pokemon in every single battle, then what the hell am I doing here? I'm going to get beat before I can even get into the Pokemon League.
Bingo. 100%.
Because you now, I mean, because what they don't do in the games that they showed in the series, which we'll find out in about a year, is you have to, You can enter the Pokemon League, but you have contests and trainers that you have to beat before you actually jump into the actual league itself.
Right.
So it's a whole process.
Right. So, you know, Ash could get there, but he would be exposed real quick once he got there. So, you know, it would be a short-term fix. But it would just be wrong on so many levels because he'd be cheating himself along with, you know...
Cheating his Pokemon.
Well, yeah, that and the certification and all that. It would all be fucked.
So, all right. But back to this week's story. Ash goes back to the Pewter City gym and just has... This boy has no respect for anything. Like, if someone barged into my house the way that Ash pushed these damn doors open again...
I'd tell him to put his dick away and get out of my fucking house.
Yeah, exactly. But he comes back and is like, I'm back and I'm ready to challenge you.
I mean, all he was missing there was Eric Bischoff's theme. Just, I'm back.
And better than ever. Good pick.
I'm telling you, man. It just lines up so well.
But Brock walks back up, and there must be specific hours that that Brock is inside of the gym, because each time Brock is already inside of the gym just waiting on gym challengers. And where are all the other gym challengers, unless Ash is just in last place and doesn't know what he's doing? But
And that's kind of the impression I get, because if you remember last week, the fucking Safari Kid said he'd already battled the other three trainers from Palutown long ago.
Yep. So Ash is in last place.
Ash is dragging.
But Brock enters the gym and he goes, haven't you had enough? And Ash just gets his dick all in a punch and just wants to challenge him again.
This time, he throws out Pidgeotto.
Yes. And
Brock throws out Geodude.
Which, given in the game, that's Brock's other Pokemon.
Right. And, did we mention, because we already seen Onix, did we mention who's that Pokemon from this episode?
Oh, no, we did not. So, the who's that Pokemon, normally we do it at the beginning, but I'm sorry, I forgot. Yeah, the who's that Pokemon of this episode is indeed Onix. And continuing the tale that Pokemon is inside of this episode. So if you're watching this episode, you should know who this Pokemon is.
Right. So yeah, Brock's got Geodude. Ash has Pidgeotto. Pidgeotto throws out Gust, kicks up a bit of a sandstorm. But it's not effective, and we the smoke, the dust clears, and we see basically Geodude is all fucking over Pidgeotto.
Geodude is just bouncing on the ground and just punching the fuck out of Pidgeotto, attempting to punch on Pidgeotto.
Right, and then
Misty's Rocky, up in the rafters going, come on, Ash, come on, I know you can do it.
She basically is like, use your fucking head. and then, you know, Brock again has to be a bit of a dick. He's like, oh, don't you know that flying Pokemon are weak against rock types? But like, obviously he fucking didn't, because he...
He didn't know that. He didn't know electric attacks don't work. So Ash just has, like, no Pokemon besides his Butterfree. Yeah. The one Pokemon that can possibly win these gym battles for him, because fucking we found out Butterfree can use sleep powder, put the Pokemon to sleep, and then defeat them.
Right. Correct. 100%.
So why he didn't use this Pokemon, I don't know. But I can hear Butterfree right now just trying to get out of the damn Pokeball going, pick me, you stupid. Pick me. Not Pidgeotto, not Pikachu, me. So, but at this point, Brock's brothers and sisters come running over by Misty to watch the battle as well. And we continue, and Pidgeotto gets knocked out by Geodude.
Yes. So, again, skipping over Butterfree, Ash calls out Pikachu, and Pikachu is ready. Pikachu's basically sitting there flexing on motherfuckers.
Yeah, and I kind of have a problem when it comes to the damn TV show and when it comes to actually playing the damn video game. So, we'll get into that in just a second, because I do not agree with this at all.
Because Pikachu basically swaggers out there, and Ash is like, you know, Thunderbolt Pikachu, and he fucking fries that Geodude. Yeah. I mean, he not even just to a crisp, like a brick of fucking charcoal. And if you try that shit in the game, you know what you're going to get? It was super ineffective.
Yeah, this move is not effective, and then you'll get fucking Geodude to do a seismic toss on your ass and fucking kill your damn Pikachu.
And that'll be it. But yes, he just turned him into a charcoal briquette without even breaking a sweat.
So, all right. So, after frying Geodude, Brock sends out Onyx again, and Onyx comes out flexing on Pikachu again, like, I'm back.
And he tries the Thundershock.
Recklessly.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, 100%, because it just goes everywhere except for Onyx.
It hits Onyx on the face for a second, and it hurts him. But then, since he's not directing it, it goes up onto the light fixtures. It almost shocks Ash. And Ash kind of has to jump out of the way. But then Onyx grabs Pikachu again and puts him in another bind.
But then we see there's a spark in the sprinkler system, and the sprinklers let go. And I missed something.
Yeah. While in the bind, Ash tells Pikachu to use Thunderbolt. And the Thunderbolt, again, kind of pissed me off from the video games, actually hurt Onyx, but not enough to knock him out.
No, not enough, but enough to get Pikachu out of the grip.
Yeah.
And then that's when we see the spark in the sprinklers, and pardon me, and then freaking Misty's like, again, you know, from the rafters, which, again, I don't think is legal in a fucking sanctioned match.
Exactly.
Goes, don't you fucking realize that rock Pokemon are weak against water?
And then Ash goes, oh, yeah, I did know that. Pikachu,
liar.
Thundershock.
And Onyx just goes up, just fucking, just And, you know, he's, you know, he takes the thunder. He takes every bit of that thunder shock. He's out, but he's not out. And then Ash is about to drop the leg on him, basically. And then again, and then all 10 siblings are basically like, no, don't hurt on, which again, fucking disqualification. Jesus Christ. What are we doing here?
Exactly.
What is this? I mean, the match was over as soon as the sprinklers turned on him, as far as I'm concerned.
But Ash doesn't think, as the brothers and sisters are holding him back, Ash goes, and this has to be one of the lines of the show. He's like, my conscience is holding me back.
I was on the floor.
And Misty's like, will you open your eyes and take a look at what's happening?
On the floor.
And Brock's little sisters and brothers and sisters are holding him, going, don't you be mean to Onyx. So I take it the other three challengers have beat Onyx.
Oh.
And they're tired of seeing Onyx get hurt.
Oh, that's so a good catch.
So they're mad now at Ash because all these trainers are just coming through and just walking through Brock, and now Onyx is being hurt again, but they're trying to stop it now.
And then Ash has a moment.
It's at this point that the battle is basically over, and since the battle is over from here, Ash is going to walk out without getting his gym badge, which is a stupid move, by the way, because I would have called bullshit. I would have been like, no, I beat your Onyx. Give me the damn badge.
But no, well, Brock
he has a little kind heart and goes, you know what? You're forgetting this. And he's like, but I didn't beat you all the way, even though you did. Okay, can you explain that to me? How did he not beat Onyx?
Well, because he used fucking an incidental occurrence. He used the sprinklers to his, like I say, the match is over as soon as the sprinklers turn on, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes. Oh, how much did you lose of me for a brief second?
I didn't lose any of you, but I think you lost me because I tried to jump in there a couple times and you just kept going. So I was like, oh, he can't hear me.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Because I was going to say, as Ash is being held back by Brock's siblings, he flashes back to the first battle when Brock calls off Onyx in that first bind because he could have popped Pikachu.
Yes.
But he didn't. And then Ash is like, well, he pulled back on Onyx, I'm going to pull back on Pikachu. And then, you know, like you said, so he's like, you know, this one, I didn't beat you here either, so he's getting ready to walk out. Because he didn't, because he wouldn't have beaten him if it wasn't for the sprinklers. Because, yeah, Pikachu was pumped up, but he, you know.
I don't give an F. Because if it's not my fault the damn sprinkler system went off. So the sprinkler system went off. It was to my advantage. I shocked your Onyx and I won.
That's not my fault the ref got bumped and didn't see me hitting you with a steel chair.
Yeah, exactly.
That's bullshit. So Ash is walking out. He's dejected. But then Brock's like, you know, I think you forgot something.
And hands him the badge.
He gives him a badge, and he's like, you would have beaten me had it not been. So, I mean, we're just completely ignoring the fact that he used the. Well, no, because Ash is like, I wouldn't have beaten you if it wasn't for the sprinklers. And then he's like, well.
Well, you did beat me.
You did beat me, so, and I wouldn't feel right as a gym leader. So he gets a badge. So. That's another check mark in the Ash gets shit for not doing shit column. And then Flint just rocks up.
And kind of reveals himself and takes off the beard and the hat and reveals himself as Brock's father.
Brock's father. And he's, because, And then once he's like, you know, you should go and live your dreams and become a famous trainer. You know, I had my, he said, I had my shot. You know, you, he basically told him to go live his dream for him.
Yeah.
Which is kind of still kind of shitty.
So this was before Brock wanted to become a, what's the term that they use in the Pokemon series now? Where he wanted to basically care for Pokemon. So at this point, Brock still wants to become a great Pokemon trainer and just live out his dream of becoming a master, just like Ash.
Right. Flint's basically like, you know, you go out and do your thing. I'll take over the duties at the house. And Brock's like, well,
there's some things that I need to tell you first.
So and
this
you
was
know,
just hilarious.
We're getting ready. We're getting ready. It seems like Brock's about to unload on this guy. And he's like, well, and then he's like, Timmy only eats cold spaghetti in the morning. And Tommy eats cereal at night. And Susie rips her dress. So you'll need to learn to sew. And Flint's basically like, you know, you need to slow down. I can't write all that down together.
And then, yeah, and that's basically the end of the episode until we get another shot of Team Rocket.
Yes. Brock and Ash are walking quite a bit ahead of Misty, who gets totally forgotten here at the end of this episode, because even the announcer goes, as Brock and Ash continue their journey with Misty far behind, it's like, bitch, he wouldn't be far behind, or she wouldn't be far behind if they'd have slowed down.
Yeah, but Brock is funny, though. He's like, because Ash goes, it's good to have someone to be able to talk to, because Brock is like, you don't mind me coming with you, do you? And Ash's like, no, it's good to, actually, I have this playing in the background in my ear. So he's like, no, it's good to finally have some company and someone to talk to. And Brock is like, but what about the girl? And then she goes, hey, don't forget about my bike.
So, you know, she's still hung up on the bike. But they're still like a good, like 10 paces ahead of her. And then Team Rocket pops their head out of the hole just in time to get stomped. And they're like, you know, we've hit rock bottom. And then I think they fall completely out. And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, that's it.
I think we kind of discussed this briefly before we hit record. Like, three big things happened here. You know, we had the introduction of another main character. We had our introduction as viewers to the gym battle system. And we had Ash getting a gym badge. But yeah, if you take those three things aside, what really happened here? Like,
well, I mean, Brock is now following Ash. I mean, that's kind of what happened.
I mean, he got a badge for basically
nothing.
Being lucky the second time?
Yeah, and I mean, and we're going to find out sooner or later, but this is not going to be the only time that he gets lucky in a way, and he'll constantly have it thrown in his face, but I'm not going to jump too far ahead.
Yeah, I've already got a couple instances kind of earmarked in my head. But yeah, that was episode 5.
Great episode.
It was a good episode.
Big milestone.
I liked it because it was focused. Like, they didn't have to dip out to deal with Team Rocket. I think it kind of evens out because, you know, like I say, again, you're not looking forward to next week.
No.
So I'll have to see
Can we skip next week?
We cannot skip. We haven't even hit the first 10. We can't be skipping already.
I know. I figured as much.
No, I'm at this point, I'm intrigued because I remember this episode.
This is not one of my favorite episodes.
But the fact that you're so negative, so I'm like sitting here going, there must be nothing that happened. Because, well, and I get, well, I don't want to go into it because that's next week's episode. But, I mean, we can preview it for the people.
Yeah, next week's episode is Clefairy and the Moonstone. Or, as it was translated in Japanese, Pippi and the Moonstone. Because that's what Clefairy is called in Japanese, Pippi.
So when, okay, so you're a decent chunk ahead of me in this rewatch.
Yes.
So when was the last time you watched this particular episode?
When I was going through on my DVD, and this episode just happened to be in the background because I remember this episode.
Oh, so you didn't even watch it.
I watched it. It's just, it was there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm intrigued because I'm actually going to sit down, probably like I did today, probably like a half hour before we jump on record here, and I'm going to watch it. And, you know, you're either going to get one or two things from me. You're going to go, yeah, you were right, or you overlooked some things.
Yeah, I'm, and don't worry, people. I'm not going to be negative when I'm reviewing it because who knows when it comes to actually sitting down and watching this so I can review it for all of you. I'm sure there's probably some stuff that I probably didn't realize right away. But oh man, I really hope there was some stuff that I missed. that's all I have to say. I wasn't a fan of this episode when it originally aired. And any time that this episode got replayed, I just skipped it. So, yeah, I'm not a fan of this. But on a side note, for people that have seen every single episode so far, something I can say, because it's going to be years before we actually get down to it, if we're still doing the podcast at that time. But Brock finally has a girlfriend.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
He's been so horny for so long.
Yeah. He finally got a girlfriend and he's all happy about it. And she considers herself his girlfriend. So, yeah, it's good.
Oh, it's one of those situations.
Yeah.
I got you.
So, well, no. Well, Brock was head over heels for her, but she was just as head over heels for him as he was for her. So We finally got a female version of Brock.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, anything else that you want to add to this while we're on this episode, Doug?
You know what? No, I think we hit it. You know, we have the trios complete. Take a bit of a detour. It seems like in terms of, you know, doing the actual barrel along, let's make Ash be a badass. Because then episode 7, we get back on the main track, it seems. But this is next week, seems like a bit of a detour. Like I say, it'll be interesting to sit down and actually watch it. I remember the broad strokes of this episode coming up. So, but yeah, this episode, there was a lot that happened. It was 20 minutes of no filler, which I appreciate. My lasting image is Ash getting a badge for being persistent.
Yeah, and just wait until he gets his second badge from Cerulean City.
Yeah, that's two episodes. Two episodes away. and we'll probably be making some of the same arguments. So, but yeah, this was episode 5. These are getting easier to do. They're more fun every time we get on here. We'll probably never finish, but damn if it isn't fun to have something to do that isn't wrestling.
I know. So, all right. Well, Are you good to go? You're satisfied?
I believe so.
All right. Oh, and I do have to ask you, where does this episode lie within your favorites that we have done so far?
Let's see. We've done five. I thought the episode three, I think, might have been my favorite. Samurai was right under that. This is probably under the Samurai. So, like, top three out of five.
Okay.
Because okay. I mean, the first one was the first one, and then the second one was kind of meh. So, yeah, probably top three of the five that we've done.
Okay, sounds good. So, all right, so we can go ahead and end this episode. And, all right, so next week is Clefairy and the Moonstone. So, hopefully I missed something, because I feel like I can just tell this whole... I feel like I can review the entire episode in, like, if you gave me 90 seconds, I can just review that entire episode. So, I really hope I missed something, but... Alright, well, say goodbye, Doug.
Goodbye, Doug.
And this is Wrestling Chris G, and I'm getting ready to sign off by telling you, you do not want to miss next week, because we all know how I feel right now, but we'll see if I feel that way next week. Have a good night, everyone.